A morning. Today's daf in Kedushin, Chaf Zion. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zech and Ishmael Saliba, Gabriel Abbas, Shmuel. We begin today in Chavav Amid Beis. We're in the middle of the Gemara's question regarding Tzibur in the Mishnah yesterday. Back on daf, Chavav Amid Aleph introduces to the topic of Kinyanim as it relates to Nechasim, and as it relates to Karka, and as it relates to Metatalin. Right, the progression of the first parak has been a progression of Kinyanim. The first topic discussion has been Kinyan Isha, that took us for the first 2 weeks of the Perek up to Yudalad. Then on Yudalad Amud Beis, the Mishnah moved its discussion to Eved Ivri and Kinyanim as it relates to Eved Ivri, and that took the next 10 blot of Gemara, approximately. Then the Mishnah on Chav Beis Amud Beis moves to the discussion of Kinyanim regarding Eved Kenani. Then, and that took about 3 days. And then the Mishnah, after discussing Kinyan Eved Kenani, talked about Kinyan Behema. That was a Mishnah on Chaf Hamad Beis. And then yesterday's daf, the Mishnah on Chavav Amid Aleph, so that talks about Kinyanim regarding Nechasim, specifically Karka and Metatlin. So how are you calling a Karka? So the answer is Kesef Shtar Chazaka. How are you calling a Metatlin? The answer is Meshicha. Okay, those are the two basic ideas. And yes, there's Chalipin, which, you know, kind of gets lost in the Mishnayos, although the Gemara keeps bringing it up. And Chalipin works for both Karka and for Metatlin. We're going to talk today, I'll show you today, that there's one thing that Chalipin does not work for, and that's money. In other words, the Kinyan Chalipin doesn't work in order to acquire money. So that we'll discuss later this morning. And then the Mishnah introduces us to the idea of Agav. The idea of Agav is that if I'm going to make a purchase on property and on movables, so what I could do is I could do a Kinyan on the property, and by dint of that, I'm going to also get the movables as well. So this is a Kinyan Agav. And all I need to do is the functional Kinyan on the property. I don't have to do Meshicha, but if I do a functional Kinyan on the property, so by dint of the property, I'm going to get the Metatlin as well. That is what we learned back in the Mishnah, in yesterday's Daf, and Chavav Amid Aleph. The Gemara's question, which started on the bottom of Chavav Amid Aleph and continues to where we are right now, and it will continue into Chav Zayin Amid Aleph, is the following question. When we're doing Kinyan Agav, do I need the Metatlin to be physically on the Karka? Does this Kinyan Agav work only when one is physically on top of the other, or no? Does Kinyan Agav work even if the two of them are physically not in the same location? But the Kinyan Agav just simply means I'm getting this and I'm getting this, and I only need to do one Kinyan in order to acquire both, but they don't physically have to be one on top of the other. The Metatlin don't have to be on top of the Karka. That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara formulates this question with one word, Tziburin. Do I need it to be collected on the property itself? This is the Gemara's question, and this is what we're going to try to discover. So right now the question is open. The Gemara yesterday tried to resolve the question. Gemara did not, Tashma. We start now on Chavav Amud Beis, and this question will be discussed for another Amud. So here we go with another case. Amar Rabbi Elazar Maaseh ben Meduni Echad. There was an incident with a Meduni. Okay, that's he was from the place. So a place called Madon. Rashi says you could see it in Yoshua Perek Yud Beis. Okay. So he had a lot of possessions, a lot of movables. And he wanted to give them away as a gift. So Amru lo ein lo takana, achik nem agabe karka. So later on, the Gemara is going to ask the question, what's wrong with Meshicha? What's wrong with Chalipin? Meaning there are many ways in which he can transfer over the Metatlin. But in the meantime, however, right now, the only advice that was given to him, the only thing that he could do, is to do it with the Kinyan Agav. So ma asa halach v'lakach beit sela, samach l'Yerushalayim. So what he got was a beit sela, which seemingly is a sela's worth of property. Doesn't seem like a lot. And then what he said is the northern section of this property, this very small property, so I'm going to be giving together with it 100 sheep and 100 barrels of wine. Umes. And then the person dies. And the kinyan that he did was an effective kinyan because he did a kinyan agav. Now, the Gemara says, now let's consider for just a moment. We're talking about 100 sheep and 100 barrels on a very small piece of property. There is no way that amount of metatlin will be able to fit on all that property. So the Gemara says it must be what? Must be that You don't need it to be physically on the property. Meaning the way Kinyan Agav works is just simply that the two of them go together, but you don't need Siburim. That's the Gemara's suggestion, or seemingly proof. Via Marbin and Siburim Ba, Beis Salah Lamai Chazi. So the Gemara says, we seem to have a proof, the Gemara deflects. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. As far as Beis Salah, Salah Mamish, my Salah Denafish Tuva. So the Gemara says, really, it's, even though the way it was presented, it sounded like that the land was worth a Salah, which again is a very small piece of land, and there's no way that the chavios and the animals could fit on the land. But the Gemara is now suggesting that the land was really expansive. Then the question, of course, is if the land is very expansive, so why are we referring it to as a sella? The amaykar le sella de kashuk sella. So the Gemara's response to that is, well, we're not describing the amount of the land; we're actually describing the nature of the land. The land, it was bedrock. It was a very hard land. And not fertile, but that's it. In other words, but the land itself is expansive, and it's very possible that all the animals are going to be able to fit on the land itself. Okay, so we didn't address the first question. The first questions in terms of why not chalipin, why not meshicha. Okay, that's going to come up in just a moment. But anyway, Tashma Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Ma'isa Ba'ad Mechad Shechala B'Yerushalayim. So the Gemara is now going to tell another story where a person was in Yerushalayim and he was sick, and Kerebi Eliezer or Kerebi Elazar, and the one who is of the opinion that this person is sick, meaning there's going to be two versions of the story. Either he was sick or he was healthy. But even if he was sick, the Gemara is now going to say that we're subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Rashi quotes it, says that that we have this idea of somebody who's sick and somebody who's dying, so divrei shchiv meira. So divrei shchiv meira, somebody's dying, so generally saying that his authorization creates a kinyan. That's the general rule. But that, says Rabbi Eliezer, is only true on Shabbos, not during the week. So the take a look at Rashi. Rabbi Eliezer, Damar Baba Basra. Rashi is right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Echa bar ve'echa mesukin ein dvarav kayam en bedibar ela bekinyan. Deleith le divrei shchiv meira k'ksuvim k'mesurim damin l'fichach amru ein lo takana laknoso ela al gabe karka. Okay, so... So the Rabbi Eliezer does subscribe to the viewpoint of Shchiv Meira on Shabbos, but outside of Shabbos, in order for the Shchiv Meira to create a kinyan, so it has to be done with a kinyan. Okay, that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And the Gemara says that this sick person is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer. The Amri Le Bari Haya, Kirabanan. Or the other version is that he was a healthy person, and a healthy person, in order to create a kinyan, has to do a kinyan. Okay, either way. In other words, that's just a setup. Shahayilam Matatan Harbe. Now he had a lot of possessions. And now what he wanted to do is he wanted to give him away as a gift. So once again, so they go over to him and they say to him, the only way you could do it is to do it by dint of land. Meaning make a sale on the land, and together with the land you're going to be able to sell the Matatan as well. Again, why not Meshicha? Why not Chalipin? So stay tuned, because the Gemara is going to ask that question on this story over here. Meaning the same questions that we asked on the previous story, we're going to ask on this story as well. The Gemara first tells over both stories, and then we're going to ask the questions. But in the meantime, however, Kinyan Agav is going to be the method of Kinyan. Ma'asa halach v'lakach beis rova, samach gilu shalim. So he got a little land. It was enough. It was enough for a rova hakav. So okay, so it's a small amount of land. The amar tefach al tefach laploni. And so here in the story, he's giving now. He's being makne a land that is the size of one tefach by one tefach. That is obviously a very small parcel of land. It's approximately 4 inches by 4 inches of land that he's giving away. And again, it's a legal mechanism. The only reason why he's giving such a small piece of land is so that through Agav, he's able to make a kinyan on the Metatlin. And together with that land, he also sold 100 sheep and 100 barrels of wine. And then this person died. And because he did it correctly, did the kinyan correctly, so therefore the Chachamim said that the kinyan was success. Now, here it's kind of hard to wiggle out of this proof, because the Braisa states very clearly that the amount of land that he gave away was a square area of 1 tefach by 1 tefach, 4 by 4 inches. And there's no way that 100 barrels of wine and 100 sheep are able to fit on that small piece of land. So the Gemara says he wasn't trying to give away the barrels of wine and the sheep, but rather what he was trying to give away was money, physical money. So cash, but cash obviously not the way we view cash as paper, but cash meaning coins. So that's what he was trying to give away. And even though it did say barrels and sheep, it just simply meant the things with value, but really was giving away money. Hachinami Mistar, but the Gemara says that now that we're here, and we're saying that what he gave away was money, so now the Gemara says things start starting to clear up. Things are starting to make sense. Because if we're talking about sheep and barrels of wine, mamish nikninu niyalei b'chalipin. Because the Gemara says, if we're talking about wine, so why doesn't he make the transfer using chalipin? So the Gemara says that's a strong question. It must be because we're not talking about bottles of wine. We're talking about money. And here's the part where we're now going to say, and money cannot be transferred with chalipin. So the take a look at Rashi over here, so that it makes more sense. Hachinami Mistaber, Rashi right alongside where we are in the Gemara. De ma'os hayu ulefichach lo yachol knosa bechalipin. The Kamal beperek hazav. The Rashi quotes the Gemara b'mitzia, the fourth perek. Ein matbea niknim bechalipin. Chalipin is a universal kinyan, which works for metalton and it works for karka, but what it doesn't work for is actual money itself. That's the Gemara in b'mitzia. So now the Gemara says, so now it makes sense that we're talking about money, and that's why he didn't use chalipin, and that's why he had to use a kinyan agav. The Gemara says, okay, but you've only answered one of the two questions that we asked. I understand now why chalipin doesn't work, because we're talking about money. But you know what does work by money? Meshicha. So if he wanted to make a kinyan, and the whole issue is it's money, and chalipin doesn't work by money, meshicha does. So why doesn't he use Meshicha in order to affect the Kenyan? Ella Deleisa Lemekaba Matana. So the Gemara says, because the recipient of the money wasn't there. Now, you can't do Meshicha. You, the Makne, can't do the Meshicha. It has to be the Kona. It has to be the recipient of the money that's doing Meshicha. And he wasn't there. So the Gemara says, Hachanam Deleisa Lemekaba Matana. So Agav Acher. So the Gemara says, okay, but we have a principle of Zachal Adam Shalab Befanov. Okay, so if the entire issue is that the recipient isn't there, so designate a person to act on behalf of the recipient. What's called zachin. And zachin l'adam shalab b'fanav. And as long as it's chus and there's no chova, so of course you can designate another person who's there to receive on behalf of the recipient. Why don't we do that? So the Gemara says, lo samcha daite. Sava shama v'achaluhu. So the answer says, the Gemara is because he was not a trustworthy person. We're talking about the giver. The giver wasn't a trustworthy person. He just simply did not trust anyone to accept this amount of money. It was a significant amount of money to accept it on behalf of another person. He was afraid, the giver, that the person who was going to act on behalf is not going to act on behalf. He's going to act on behalf of himself. He'll take the money and he'll just run with it. So the Gemara says that's why he didn't trust anyone else to accept it on his behalf. So now chalipin was out of the question. He didn't want Meshicha through an agent, through Zachal Adam Shalom Befanov, because he just didn't trust anybody. He wanted to do the kinyan himself. We're talking about movables. How are you going to do it? And the answer is Agav, Kinyan Agav. Ve'alamai ein lo tekana hachi kamar. Lamai de lo samche daita ein lo tekana achiknim agabe karka. And that's what the Gemara means both in this story and in the previous story. What does it mean ein lo tekana? There's no other way to create a Kinyan. Sure, there are other ways to create a Kinyan. We just went over. Zachal adam shlo befanav. He could do Meshicha through an agent. But based on the fact that in both of these stories, they just didn't trust anybody to accept on their behalf, so that in these circumstances, ein lo tekana, there's nothing else they could have done other than Kinyan Agav. Okay, with all that stated, the Gemara now has still an open question. When I do Kinyan Agav, does a metalton physically have to be on top of the property? The question is still open. Tashma, the Gemara says, let's deduce it from the following. We have over here a Mishnah from Meiser Sheni. Meiser Rabbi Gamliel was on a boat. together with elders. So we are going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. You will see a Tosus that starts on this Amud and goes well into the next Amud. And Tosus has many questions on Rashi. We are going to keep this discussion simple and streamlined, even though Rashi does have tremendous difficulty. You could see Tosfos for a lengthy discussion in Rashi, but I'm going to present the Gemara like Rashi and keep it simple. So, Maitha Rabbi Gamliel, Zakenim Shayyuban, Bisvinus, the Rabbi Gamliel was going with the Zakenim, and they were going on a boat. Amalam Rabbi Gamliel, Zakenim, Easter Shani Asi Lamud. So he says like this. Oh no. I forgot, and this is why Tosfos didn't like Rashi's Pshat, because it's unlikely, but again, let's keep it simple. I forgot to take off my sarishan. Ugh, I can't believe I forgot. And they're on a boat, meaning the produce was on the mainland. And Rabbi Gamliel escaped his mind. So now what he wants to do is that he wants to create a kinyan on the miser. As we're going to see in just a moment, it was Maiser Rishon and Maiser Ani. So that means that this was either the third or the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. And so the two Maisers that you have to give during that year is Maiser Rishon and Maiser Ani. Why isn't the Gemara having a discussion of Truma? That's another question. But again, let's just keep it simple. Let's just deal with what the two Maisers are that he's giving away. So one is going to be Maiser Rishon and the second is going to be Maiser Ani. Now there happens to be on the boat together with him, there's going to be a Levi and a representative of the poor people. We're going to be introduced to both of them in just a moment. And so what he's going to do while on the boat is that he's going to transfer the Maaser Rishon to the Levi, and he's going to transfer the Maaser Ani to the representative of the poor people, all while being on the boat. So how is he going to do that? And the answer is going to be Kinyan Agav. Let's see it inside. So, So as far as the Maaser Rishon is concerned, I'm going to give the Maaser Rishon over to Yehoshua. Yehoshua says, Rashi, the top Rashi in Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, Rashi writes, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya kedam Rabbi Maseches Erechen. Maaser Rabbi Yehoshua Rabbi Chananya, Shalach Lesayas Rabbi Yochem ben Gud Gadab Agafas Delasos, Amalo Chozabach, Shata min HaMishoririm, Ve'ani min HaShoarim. So just in general, it's good to know that when it comes to the Levi in the Beis Hamikdash had two basic responsibilities. One was Shorer, and one was Shoar. Shorer, the singers. There was a choir. The Levim were the ones who sang song in conjunction with the Avodah that was done. And so one job was Mishoririm, and the other job the Levim had is Shoarim. They were in charge of keepers of the gate. They would keep watch during the night. And they would be in charge of all the gates. So Shorerim and Shoarim. What determined whether or not you were a Shorer or a Shoar? My best guess is the quality of your voice. If you were good at singing, so then you were a Shorer. Otherwise, you were a Shoar. I'm not sure if it's that simple, but in my mind, that's how I have them divided. So anyway, but just by the simple dialogue that took place in the Gemara in Erechin, so we know that Rav Yehoshua ben Chananya was a Levi. Okay, so now with that stated, so Rabbi Gamliel on the boat is giving over the Maaser Rishon to Yehoshua ben Chananya. Remember, Maaser Rishon. The Maaser Rishon is nowhere around, meaning it's on mainland. So how is he doing it? So, Nason lo Yehoshua umakomo muskar lo. So, he says to Yehoshua as follows. Right now, my Maaser Rishon is sitting back home. It's on top of a property. So what you'll do is you'll give me a coin. And the coin that you're going to give me will rent out the property. And by dint of the property, you're also going to get the Maaser Rishon. Kinyan Agav. Good. Now we move on to the next Maaser. So, the Iser Acher Shani Asid Lamod. Now I'm going to give another Iser. Another Maaser. And again, it's Maaser Ani. It's either the third or the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. Nason Lola Akiva Ben Yosef. And on the boat together with Rabbi Gamliel was none other than Akiva Ben Yosef, Rabbi Akiva. And Kadesh Yizka Boanim. He was a Gabet Staka. So the Maaser Ani was given to Akiva ben Yosef as a representative of the poor people. And again, being that right now Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva were on the boat, so how was the Maaser Sheni transferred to Rabbi Akiva? Once again, through Kinyan Agav, meaning Rabbi Akiva will give a coin over, a nominal amount of money over to Rabbi Gamliel, and now we'll rent out the Makom, and together with the Makom, the Maaser Ani is going to be given as well. Shma mina be'inan tziburin ba. So the Gemara says, so you see from the story that the Maaser Rishon and the Maaser Ani have to be physically on the property itself. How do we see that? The Rashi says, the key word over here that we read in the Brisa was the word mikomo, and its makom. Meaning, it wasn't that Rabbi Gamliel just rented out any property. He rented out specifically the property that was underneath the Maaser Rishon to Rabbi Yoshua, and that was underneath the Maaser Ani to Rabbi Akiva. So the key word, says Rashi, is the word mikomo. So you see that in order to affect Kinyan Agav, the movables have to be physically on the property itself. That seems to be a good proof. The Gemara deflects. Shani Hasam, ki hechi delau litrichinu. The Gemara says, maybe no. Maybe there really was no halachic imperative that the movables have to be physically on the property itself. He just wanted to make it easier for the two of them, so that when they do get back to mainland, and when they get to the property, so it'll be nice and easy. Meaning that property that you rented out, Rabbi Yoshua, your Maaser Rishon is going to be right on top of that. And Rabbi Akiva, that property that you rented out, that Maaser Ani is going to be right on top of that. So maybe that's the only reason why he said Mikomo, but not because of the halachic imperative that the movables have to be on the property. And so with this deflection, our question is still open-ended. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. The Amar Rav Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Shnei Shtaros. There are two halachas when it comes to Shtaros. And the halachas go like this. Number one, Zacha Besad Zel Laploni, V'kisru Lo Asa Shtar. I want to be Zocha this land to so-and-so, and write up a Shtar as well. The shtar is only serving as a shtar raya. It's only serving as a proof. And so choz b'shtar ve'enu choz b'sada. But the giver, the makne, was very clear that he wanted the land to be nizke. He wanted the land to be acquired to the kona, to the recipient. It's just that the shtar simply be served as a raya. If he wants to retract from the writing of a shtar for whatever reason, so he has the right to do so, and provided, of course, that the shtar hasn't been written up yet. Amenas shetichtavu lo shtar. However, if the acquisition of the land was made contingent on the writing of the shtar, which means that the shtar is serving much more than just a raya, more than just simple proof of the sale of the land, so the chozer ben b'shtar ben b'sada. So then now, the giver of this land, the makna of this land, has the right to retract on both, not only the shtar, but of course also on the kinyan as well. Okay, so if the shtar, the two halachos are basically like this. If the shtar is just serving as a raya to the giving of the land, so then, and the giver gave the land, so if he wants to, he can retract, but the only thing he can retract from is the writing of the shtar. If, however, he creates a contingency between the shtar and the land, so that give the land, but only with a shtar, so then the retraction can be done. As long as it's not been written up yet, the retraction can be done, both on the shtar and on the land as well. Okay. And now, that's obviously not the point that we're interested in right now. So it's this next point that is going to be necessary to address our question. There's actually a third halacha. Treha damar, the two halachas that we already said over. Idach, and the third halacha, im kada mocher v'kasav lo sashtar, ka'osu shashaninu, ka'os v'nshtar la mocher, afa pishen lo keachimo, kevin sheichzikimo bakarka, niknishtar b'chol makom shehu. Let's say we do the following. We write up the shtar mechira for the mocher, for the seller, even though the lakech is not together with him. Meaning, you can pre-write a shtar mechira. And not only can you pre-write a shtar mechira, you can pre-write it to the point where, even if the buyer isn't there yet, you can write the shtar mechira. Now, who stands to lose in all this? Obviously the mocher. And he's the only one who stands to lose over here. Meaning, the lokeach, the buyer of the property, is only gonna get the property when he actually physically buys the property. So by pre-writing the shtar mechira, the only one who stands to lose is a mocher. which means exactly that. That if the mocher says, you know what, I'm selling the property, I want to be ready right up the Shtar Mechira now, and then when I sit down at the table and I negotiate with the buyer, so he'll say yes, and I'll have the Shtar ready. Fine. And what about a kinyan on the Shtar itself? Now, as far as the actual physical paper is concerned, the document is concerned, once a kinyan is made on the property, regardless of where the shtar is, this is the key, regardless of where the shtar is going to come along together with the property. Meaning, you're going to make a kinyan on the paper together with the property itself. This seems to be excellent indication that the shtar does not physically have to be on the property when you're doing a kinyan. But the Gemara is making an assumption over here. And that is that the shtar is coming together with the property using the method of kinyan agav. So Shema Minah. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Shema Minah lo b'init Tziburim ba. So the Gemara says, okay, so I think this is a good proof that you don't need Tziburim. So the Gemara says, it's not a good proof. Shani Shtar, de afsira de ara hu. So the Gemara says, it's not because we're not talking about some sort of external movable that's coming along together with the property. We're talking about the Shtar itself. The Shtar is connected to the property. The shtar is the proof that the property is being sold. It's not something extrinsic to the entire transaction. The shtar is an internal part of the transaction itself. So of course you're going to get the shtar, and it doesn't matter where the shtar is, and the acquisition is not coming about through kinyan agav. Now the Gemara says, although that argument is a great argument, the Gemara says, but I'm just going to share with you now the rest of the Braisa. The rest of the Braisa says, how are we being kona the shtar? The Braisa says through kinyan agav. So the argument is great that the shtar is an intrinsic part of the transaction, and it doesn't matter where the shtar is. The shtar, you're going to acquire the shtar. And the argument could be it's not really done through kinyan agav. But when all said and done, the Braisa says it's through kinyan agav. So if the Braisa says it, you can give arguments, but when ultimately the Braisa says it. Shema minah lo b'in and tziburim ba shema minah. So this is the end point of the whole discussion. The Gemara says, okay, we're good. So now, assuming the Braisa is correct, and we have nothing else but to assume the Braisa is correct, so kinyan agav can be done, and the movables don't have to be physically on the property itself. And so the Gemara says, okay, now we resolved our first question of the day. Do I need Tziburim, yes or no? The answer right now is, no, I don't need Tziburim. If I'm going to do a kinyan agav, and I'm making a transaction on movables and on property, so by making the transaction on property, so the movables come together with the property. And it does, and the movables don't have to be on the property itself. Next.
So a kinyan, so an aga, this kinyan aga creates like a vessel or an independent thing that transfers, like another entity.
Right. So the lumdus in the analysis. So is the kinyan aga of and basically this very well may be the Gemara's question. Is the when the movables are coming together with the property, are the movables really like kind of an attachment to the property?
Right. But you're putting them like in a bubble or in a
correct
vest.
Right. Or is it, or the other way to say it in terms of analysis, in terms of just a simple chakira, is that I really now, because the movables are being sold together with the property, the kinyan works for both. I mean, the kinyan that works for the property is also effective in terms of the movables itself. That could really be the chakira, the analysis in terms of how to understand the chakira, and that could have been the question of whether or not you need Tziburim. You don't need Tziburim.
Therefore, when you transfer this kinyan aga, which is sealed,
right?
You don't have to it's all together. You're like you
right.
Transferred.
Right. The Gemara says you don't need Tziburim, which gives the indication that there is a dual kinyan going on. There's one kinyan on the movables, and there's another kinyan on the property. Let me reverse it. There's one kinyan on the property, there's another kinyan on the movables. It happens to be that because they're coming together, so the kinyan that works for the property is also going to be working for the movables itself. Okay. Ibaye lehu. The Gemara now asks the next question. We're in the middle of Chazayin Amad Aleph. Question. Mi be'inan agav alam. Do I need agav? What does that mean? If you take a look at Rashi, um, Sorry. Okay, Rashi's lower than where we are. Rashi's about two-thirds of the way down. Sheyomer lo kini karka v'kini metaltalin agaba. Okay, do you have to actually say, is it imperative that you articulate that I'm selling you the property agav together with, in conjunction with, the movables? So is that necessary? So tashma, dekteni kolhani v'lo kateni agav. Now the Gemara says, now, we've gone over numerous scenarios. In the previous question, and in the attempt to prove the previous question, we have gone over about a half dozen scenarios in which a kinyan agav was done, even though there was no articulation of the actual word agav itself. The Gemara says, okay, but just because we've gone over many scenarios, the scenarios don't necessarily spell out every detail. The Gemara says, I'll give you a simple example. Did you see the word kini in all these cases? No. Ela adam or kini. In other words, if you're going to make a kinyan, you have to articulate the word kinyan. And these cases didn't have it there. Does that mean it, what, he didn't say it? Of course he said it. So, hachanami, adam or agav. So the Gemara says, same thing over here. If we're going to use the method of kinyan agav, you have to articulate the words kinyan agav. And the Gemara says, well, again, now a second very solid conclusion for today, and that is that you don't need tziborim, but you do need to say the word agav. If I'm going to be using the method of agav in order to make an acquisition, so you actually have to say the word agav in order to make it effective. Ibayiluhu. Next question of the Gemara. If, let's say, the field is sold by a mechira and the metaltan are gifted. Okay, great question. Meaning now what we're going to do is we're going to use kinyan agav, and I'm selling property and movables. The movables don't have to be on the property, as we have established. We don't need tziburim. You do need to say the word agav. But now, what if they're not exactly the same transaction? Meaning, let's say the movables, let's start with the property. Let's say the property is being sold and the movables are being gifted. Great question. Does kinyan agav work in such a scenario? So shmaminam. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we know the answer already. Because remember that mishnah from Maaser Sheni, where Rabbi Gamliel now is giving, because that's what you do when it comes to Maaser. You know, Maaser is a gift. You're giving Maaser Rishon over to Yehoshua. And how is he doing it? Through kinyan agav. By renting out the location, the physical property underneath. So that's kinyan agav. And Rabbi Yehoshua rented out the makom by actually giving him money, and he was being gifted the Maaser Rishon.
Did you say agav though?
Let's assume like the Gemara's conclusion. He did. So the Gemara says, Shema Minam. Gemara says, good. So that's a good proof. Ibailu. Sadala echad umetaltan la acher mahu. Next in our discussion. What about this? Kinyan agav. Let's say the property is going to one recipient and the movables is going to a secondary recipient. Meaning the one who's renting out the property is going to be renting the property. And as far as the movables is concerned, he's acting as an agent on behalf of somebody else. Does kinyan agav work in that scenario? So Tashma Yisur Shani Yasid Lamo Nasan Lakiva Ben Yosef Kidei Shizka Lo Laniyim Umekoma Muska Lo. So once again, the Gemara says, I think I know the answer to that. And that's based on, once again, the Mishnah Maaser Sheni. What happened in that Mishnah? Rabbi Gamliel on the boat rented out the property to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva got the Maaser Ani, and he wasn't the one accepting the Maaser Ani on behalf of himself, he was accepting it on behalf of the poor. So once again, you see very clearly from the Mishnah that the movables can be taken on behalf of somebody else. So the Gemara says, my Musker, Musker, la Maaser. So the Gemara says, well, not necessarily. This proof we can deflect. And the deflection of this proof could be as follows. It could be, number one, says the Gemara, that the schira is done, the renting is done for the purposes of the Maaser. Meaning that it's not that it's not that Rabbi Kiva becomes the recipient of the property, but Rabbi Kiva also serves as also the agent for the Maaser itself. That's one possibility. And the Gemara says another possibility is as follows. Rabbi Kiva is the agent of the poor people. He's not considered accepting it on behalf of the poor people. He actually is Yad Ani. He's actually an extension of the poor person. When you're a Gabit Staka, you're more than just simply I'm speaking on behalf of, but rather you're more than that. You're more centrally connected to the poor people themselves. So Rabbi Akiva is a Yad of the Ani, and so maybe in that case it works because when you're giving it to Rabbi Akiva, it's basically you're giving it to the poor person. But maybe it doesn't necessarily translate into Aga being able to work for property for one person and the movables for another person altogether. Amar Rav Loshanu Eloshanasan Demei Kulan. Avalanasan Demei Kulan Lokana. Ela Kenegin Ma'usav. Rav now is going to throw in a proviso into this world of Kinyan Agav. Okay, so what do we know so far about Kinyan Agav? Kinyan Agav allows you to make a Kinyan on the movables together with the property. You don't need Siburin. You do need to say the word Agav. One could be gifted and the other could be sold. The last question we left unresolved in terms of whether or not one can go to one recipient and the other can go to another recipient. The Gemara didn't conclude on that issue. And now, Rava says, but in order for Kinyan Agav to work successfully, so on the movables, on the metatalin, you will only get that which is paid for. When it comes to property, let's say what we already know. When it comes to property, and I want to make a Kinyan on property, and I put down money, I don't have to put down the money corresponding to the full value of the property. In other words, I just simply give a down payment, and I acquire the property, and the rest of it, obviously, is a chov, has an obligation, and I have to pay the balance. That's what we know by property. When it comes to movables, so we know that the way that you acquire movables is mashicha. And then when you do the mashicha, you're going to pay for, you're obviously going to have to pay for it after the mashicha. Okay, that we know as well. What Rav is saying now is that when I'm acquiring the movables through Kinyan Agav, it only is effective only if the movables are paid for. And if the movables aren't fully paid for, so then I'm only going to get the movables corresponding to the amount that I paid for. This is Rava's understanding of a limit of Kinyan Agav. Why? So the Gemara goes on to explain. I misspoke. The Gemara is not going to explain. The Gemara is just going to say it. So the So I guess it's now from up to me to try to explain. I imagine the reason why is because once again this is a secondary way of making an acquisition, meaning it's a back door. It is allowing you to acquire movables, but only because by dint of you making an acquisition in the property, in order to affect and affirm the actual transaction. Normally, you don't have to make full payment in order to affect a transaction, but because this is, so to say, coming along for the ride, so under these circumstances, Rava is saying that you have to make a full payment on the transaction. Tanya Kavah says to Rava, the Gemara is now going to say, look, I'm going to support Rava based on a braisa. Yafa kolacha kesef mikolacha shtar v'kolacha shtar mikolacha kesef. So kesef is better than shtar in certain respects, and shtar is better than kesef in certain respects. Yafa kolacha kesef shah kesef podim ba'agdeshus ma'isa sheni. When it comes to money, with money, I can redeem. I can redeem hektish, I can redeem ma'isa sheni, ma'isa inkim shtar. I can't do that with a shtar. We've gone over this many times in our masechta, that you cannot make a redemption with a shtar. V'yafa kolacha shtar shtar motzi be'bas Yisrael. Ma'isa inkim kesef. And on the other hand, shtar is better than kesef. Shtar creates a divorce. Kesef cannot create a divorce. V'yafakoch shneim mikoch chazaka. Both of them are stronger than a chazaka. V'koch chazaka mikoch shneim. And in certain respects, a chazaka is better than the two of them. Yafakoch shneim sheshneim konin be'evid ivri. Kesef and shtar can be konin in evid ivri. Mashein kim a chazaka. Chazaka cannot acquire an evid ivri. A chazaka, parenthetically, can acquire an evid kanani, but okay. But that's not our point. Our point is that in certain respects, Kesef and Shtar can acquire, is better because they can acquire an Eved Ivri, Chazaka cannot. Yafakoa Chazaka, Shechazaka, Machalo, Aser Sados, Be'eser Medinos. Now, as far as Chazaka is concerned, here's how Chazaka exceeds Kesef and Shtar. Because when it comes to Chazakah, if I sell 10 properties in 10 different locales, Kevin Sheikhlik Bachas Mayim Kanim Kulam, once I do a Chazakah on one of the properties, that creates a de facto Kinyan on the other 9 properties as well. Bamedvar Mamorim, sorry. So as a Kevin Sheikhlik Bachas Mayim Kanim Kulam. Bamedvar Mamorim, top of Chavzayin Amid Beis, and that's true when Shenasan Lo Deme Kulan. That's only if you paid for all the properties. Avalonasan Lo Deme Kulan, Lokana Ela Kenegan Ma'usav. But if you didn't pay for all the properties, even though you did a Kinyan Chazaka on one of the properties, you're only going to acquire only up to the amount that you actually paid for. But you're not going to acquire all of them. So this would seemingly be good proof for Rava that when I'm doing a Kinyan Agav, I only are going to acquire that which I've currently paid up for. But I'm not going to acquire anything beyond that. Okay. Misayele Lishmua. And the Gemara says that this is all supportive of that which Shmuel said. I mean, the Bryce that we just learned is going to be a good support. Damar Shmuel Machlo Eser Sados Vaser Medinos Kevin Sheichli Ba'achas Mem Kanas Kula. So Shmuel says that if I make a purchase of 10 lands from 10 different in 10 different locations, once I do a chazak on one of them, I acquire all of them. Amar Avachah Brei Derav Ika Teda Sheilu Maser Lo Eser Behemos Ba'afsar Achas Va'amar Le Kini Milo Kani. So the Gemara says, and let me give you an analogy in terms of why this is correct. Let's say I purchase 10 animals, and the 10 animals are all harnessed onto one leash. And I do a kinyan on the leash. Right? Let's say a mesira, where the leash is being handed over to me. And the leash is connected to all 10 of those animals. So aren't I going to acquire all 10 animals? So similarly, if I do kinyan chazak on one property, I'm going to acquire all the properties. To which the Gemara says, I'm a lame dummy. That comparison is not so great. Hasam igudu biyado, hachein igudu biyado. Gemara says the obvious difference is that when I have a leash and the leash is attached to all 10 animals, so of course I'm going to acquire all 10 animals because while holding onto the leash, I'm actually physically connected to all 10 of the animals. But if I'm buying 10 properties in 10 different locations and I do a kinyan chazak on one of them, that doesn't necessarily mean I acquire all the others. Meaning, I'm not physically connected to all the other properties. That is one way in which we try to support Shmuel. Now the Gemara is going to have an Ikadamri, a second version, and here in our second version, we're going to argue the other way, that making an acquisition on one doesn't necessarily mean you acquire the others. Because Elam Asalo Asabemus Bafsa Achav Amalo Zukini Mikani. So, if I did a Masir on 10 animals with one Afsar, and I said, Kini, so did I acquire? So the Gemara says, in this scenario, I said acquire this one. And I wasn't making reference to the other animals. So the Gemara says, Midami hasim gufim uchlakim. The Gemara says, yeah, but there, those are 10 different animals. So when I specify that I'm only doing a kinyan on one of the animals, so of course you're not going to get the other animals because there are 10 different animals. But hacha, sadna de'arachadu. But as far as the property is concerned, so the Gemara says properties are connected. Even if the properties are in 10 different locations, geographically, different places on the earth. But ultimately, when all said and done, one earth, one globe. One whole, one unit of land on this world. So even though the properties themselves are in different locations, but they are connected, physically connected. So the Gemara says, so really you can argue in the other direction. That land is more unified than 10 animals. So the Gemara says, okay, so...
assuming that the land is a flat surface or a globe?
I don't know. I mean, that's always an open-ended question in terms of what the Gemara knew about that. But in the meantime, how...
The assumption is they're connected in what sense? In the flat sense or a linear sense? Or the fact that, you know, like the entire globe is like a core?
When you do a Kinyan Agav, you put all these different things into this barrel.
Correct. Okay. The assumption Gemara is making here...
whether they're continuous, it's what you put into the barrel.
Right. Rashi just simply says, Kula Mechuberis. It's all connected. So I guess the assumption is that it's one landmass. Again, whether it was flat or round, you know, open-ended in terms of what the Gemara knew about that. Okay, let's wrap it up. We are we'll go a little bit further, but this ends our discussion in the Gemara regarding Kinyan Agav. A lot of questions that were addressed and concluded today in terms of the nature of Kinyan Agav. Siburin, yes or no? No. I don't need the movables to be physically on the land itself in order to create a Kinyan Agav. As long as we articulate and clarify that we're using Kinyan Agav, so then I acquire the movables together with the land. Do I need to say the word Kinyan Agav? The Gemara's to that said, yes, you do. That's the requirement. What if the land is being sold and the movables are being gifted? And I assume the reverse also is true, although that's an assumption. I don't know if I'm right about that. But what if the land is being sold and the movables are being gifted? That works as well. We learned that from the Maaser Sheni. What if there are two different recipients, and I'm trying to do Kinyan Agav to two different recipients? The Gemara says inconclusive. On that, we don't know. The Kinyan Agav works for multiple lands. So both Rav and Shmuel said yes, that would be true. Meaning that if I acquire one land and by doing an acquisition in this land, I'm going to get the other lands as well. So the Gemara says yes, although there you can make the argument, the Gemara did so at the very end of this discussion, that because really property is one unified mass, so maybe there it's easier to bundle everything together. Okay. I mean, you have to say the word agav. So once you're saying the word agav, I assume that you have to identify what the movables are. I mean, otherwise, how can there be, you know, in order to do a transaction, that has to be a good understanding. Right, no, right. Yeah, I assume so. I assume there has to, otherwise, without clarification, then right, then it's not. Then I can't imagine how it's going to work without clarification. Okay, Zokin es nechasim. Let's start our next topic. We're going to get only through a portion through with it, and that is that the bundling of land and movable, said the Mishnah back on Chavav Amud Aleph yesterday's daf. The bundling is going to affect another halacha as well, and that's regarding Shvua. Here's what we know. We know that if there is a towin and a nitan, if there's a claim and a defense, and we're having issues with one another, and we can't come to terms under certain circumstances, so I can have you make a shvua, and you're going to make, and we're going to go to court, and you're going to make a shvua, and you're going to swear that I don't owe you the money. Again, I'm simplifying, but and you're going to make a shvua. So the basic halacha is that you're going to, that if the claims are over money or movables, so then there's a shvua that's going to be made. If the argument is over property, there is no shvua over property. Okay. However, if we're having multiple arguments over movables and property, so here's now another area where bundling is going to work. Where once I'm having you make a shvua on the movables, I'm also going to have to make a shvua on property as well. So really, we have another word to describe this, and it's what's called Gilgul Shvua. This should sound familiar because we did this back in Sota not that long ago. And the Gemara says that basically that's what we're talking about over here. The bundling of the Shvua is really what's called Gilgul Shvua. Shenemar, V'amar Isha, Amen, Amen. So the woman says, when accused of being a Sota, so she goes to the Beis HaMikdash, she's read the riot act, she's about to drink the Mei Sota, and she has to make a confirmation, she's making a shvua. And she says, Amen, Amen, she says it twice. V'tanan amahi omeres Amen, Amen, Amen al ha'Allah, Amen al ha'Shvua. She makes a shvua, and I'm sorry, her Amen is substantiating the curse, the oath, Amen im mi'ish zeh, Amen im mi'ish acher. I didn't have extramarital relations with that man that I'm being accused on, not on another man. Amen shalo satisi arusa unesua vishomeres yavam ukenusa, and I did not stray while I was in the stage of erusin, not nesuin, not shomeres yavam, not marriage. Okay, those four stages, hard to understand exactly how they all serve at the same time. That she was all part of those four stages. We'll pause here. We'll pick it up tomorrow in terms of understanding her acknowledgement. But basically, it's Gilgul Shvua. And that's exactly the Gemara's point. That this bundling that we're learning about in terms of Shvua is really a function of Gilgul Shvua.